Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to open Your Word, to be able to dig down in there and find that faith-building knowledge, to be able to give us that foundation to be able to stand on, to where we can boldly proclaim You as our Lord and Savior. Please be with us now as we open Your Word. Give us exactly what You want us to receive as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. People had within them a battle, a tug of war, you might say, between Satan and God, between good and evil, between the flesh and the spirit. When you become born again, that battle continues. You still have that battle. Even though you've been washed of all your sins and God moves into you in the form of the Holy Ghost, you still within yourself have a battle that you're fighting, a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. A battle within, you might say, that we have to be conscious of, we have to be aware of, and you have to continuously fight that battle, but have confidence in knowing that you don't have to fight it with just your own strength, that you fight it with the strength of Jesus Christ. You fight it with the strength of the Holy Ghost that is within you so that you can stay on that right side of that battle. It's like a tug of war, you know, a rope pulled across a pit, a mud pit, you know, and you're being pulled from one side and you're pulling from the other side. You know, you don't want to be drug over into that pit and get all filthy with sin again. You want to come back over on the clean side. The Satan's always there tugging and pulling, trying to pull you into that pit, back into there to get you all messed up again. But take confidence that if you have been drug into that pit and you're all messed up and you're born again, but yet you've been drug down into that pit, what do you do now? You're all messed up. You had that nice clean robe that they were singing about the bride being nice and clean and white. You can get that all messed up as being a disobedient Christian. So what do? Turn, if you will, to the small epistle of John. He has a provision for that. Now this is talking to the Christians. If you're lost, you're already in that pit of mud. You're walling around in that pit of mud. If you want to get out of that pit of filthy sin, you got to get a hold of that battle. Become cleaned by letting Jesus Christ pull you out of that and wash you with His blood. He's reaching out to you, asking you to come to Him. Take His hand, let Him pull you out of that mud and clean you completely from top to bottom. And stay on that clean side of that challenge there. But if you do fail, there's a provision. You know, I've heard some people say that a Christian won't fail. A Christian will not sin. A Christian cannot sin. And if he sins, he wasn't a Christian anyway. I've heard that over and over. You know, then you got the old thing where the Baptists used to use, once in grace, always in grace. You know, they say it's in the Scriptures. Once in grace, always in grace. Well, that's not in the Scriptures. There's nowhere in the Scriptures that says once in grace, always in grace. Believe me, I've studied in detail trying to find that. To back that up, it ain't in there. You have confidence in knowing that your salvation is solid. You will not lose your salvation. But you can fall out of the graces of God. You can fall out of that relationship with God. You can get away from the grace. So it's not once in grace, always in grace. Because if you disappoint God by going back into your sin, by losing that battle and getting drug into that mud, you're no longer in the graces of God. You've lost your fellowship with God. But you got to understand there is an opportunity for you to get back in the graces of God. And He tells us that in John. The epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You do not have a fellowship with Jesus Christ or God Almighty if you're walking in the darkness. If you're walling around in that filthy mud, you're not going to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He can wash us clean from all that muddy filth that we've been walling around in. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you go out there and you start witness to somebody and they say, well, I'm not a sinner to begin with. I don't need forgiveness. I've lived a good moral life. I donate to all kinds of good charities and I've done this, I've done that. And they think they've been able to work their way into salvation. Some of these false gods out here that people worship, some of these other religions out there, it's religions of works. They want to work their way up to a higher level. They want to work their way to heaven or to their version of eternity. It doesn't work that way. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as it tells us in the Scriptures. But a provision in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the Word is not in us. So if you ever meet a Christian, or so-called Christian, that says, oh, I live a perfect life, I don't sin, he's a liar. And as this says, he even makes the Lord a liar. So they're clearly not a Christian. Or they're a very confused, disobedient Christian that needs to get back on the straight and narrow. But this provision in here is awesome, that we have that ability to reconcile once again, to regain that grace, to regain the fellowship, to win that tug of war and get back on the side of the Lord. Continuing in chapter 2 here, the Epistle of John, chapter 2 reads, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. My little children, this is written by John to Christians. And he's calling them little children because they're new. They're still children in their maturity as Christians. Too many times we see people that never reach full maturity, and they can always be considered little children. Even if they've been saved for many years, even decades, they may have reached a certain point, but they quit growing because they failed to do what the Lord wants them to do, which is to study the Word solidly, and that gives you that foundation. It gives you that maturity as a Christian. And you go out there and you do the work, and by working for the Lord and studying His Word, you mature as a Christian. But He's speaking to the little children, those that aren't quite fully understanding what it's really all about being a Christian. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. Giving them guidelines, and don't be sinning. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, saying, don't be sinning. But if you do sin, little children, because he shouldn't be having to tell this to the mature children, to the mature Christians, but those that are still disobedient, they have not grown solid with the relationship of God yet. But those that are still young and growing, don't be sinning. But if you do fail, if you do start losing that battle of the tug of war and you wind up getting drugged down into that muddy pit of sin once again, there's a way to get cleaned. And that advocate is Jesus Christ. In verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, the price that is due to pay for sinning. He is that. He paid the price. Continuing, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for all sin on the cross. All sin. Not just those that come to Him and are obedient Christians or disobedient Christians, and He says, okay, I paid for that, you come on back. But He paid the price for all of it. And then it's up to us as individuals on this entire planet to take advantage of that already paid for opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. All we have to do is reach out and accept that free gift and in obedience follow His commandments and serve Him and stay clean by staying out of that pit of mud, and lean on the strength of the Lord. Depend on His might to keep you out of that pit. But if you do stumble and you get all messed up, we have an advocate that has paid the price already for your stumble. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Understand that when you get pulled up out of that pit of sin and you get cleansed, that it cleanses your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul. Everything is clean. Stay on that side. Stay on the straight and narrow. Continue. You will have that constant battle, that battle that is within. You will have that. But we've got to understand, turn over to 1 Corinthians, next books there, 1 and 2 Corinthians, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul's asking a question to the church at Corinth, to the Christians there. He reads what in verse 19 here? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it reads, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He paid the price, that propitiation we just read about in the book of John, in the Epistle of John. He paid that price. He got us out of that. He washed us clean. And now we are His. After all, He created us for Him, not for us. That's something I press over and over and over. As we are not here on this planet to please ourselves. We are here to please God. Too many attitudes that are out there in the world are all about self-pleasure. About doing what you want to do. About have it your own way. You know that big slogan, whoever uses that? Have it your way. And that big song that Sinatra sang, I did it my way, or whatever. You know, I ain't no singer. But that attitude is out there. It's all about me, 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 what I want, what I want. But it should never be that way. It should always be just like the example Jesus Christ gave us and the example prayer He gave us. Not our will, but His will be done. Because we are created for Him, by Him, for Him. It's not by Him for us. We didn't come about because of billions of years of random chances and then here we are because we chose to have this body. Now we're here, we got it, and now we're the most supreme evolved creature on the planet and we can do whatever we want to do. It's not like that. That's ridiculous. That's a lie straight from hell. We are bought with a price. And we are His. Verse 20 again. For ye are bought with a price. The price was Jesus Christ dying on the cross, taking on all the sins for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Like I said, too many times in this world, it's my body, I can do with it as I please. No, it's not your body. It belongs to God. Every breath that you take belongs to God, not to you. So you got to understand that. That's something that we are fighting constantly in this world. That's another battle. The world wants you to think, well, you're your own person. You know, you do with your body as you please. This whole abortion issue and all, it's my body, I can do with it as I please. It's not your body. And the life that is within you, if you're pregnant, is not yours either. This is my child. No, it's not your child. It's God's child. He has just loaned it to you and let you have the privilege of being able to raise that child. It's an honor and a privilege. It's not yours. The body that you have is not yours. You got to understand that. When you accept that, it's easier to be obedient unto God, knowing that everything that we have around us belongs to Him. Jesus Christ spoke it all into existence, including us, for Him. We talk about giving tithes even. You know, I don't talk much about money, but just as an example, giving tithes. People say, well, it's a tenth. You know, the Bible tells us we've got to give a tenth. Well, that was a guideline that was given to us in the Old Testament, giving a tenth. Well, it's all His. Whatever we give back to Him is His anyway. So don't try to put some set number on it that this is what I give and that's it. Then everything else here is mine. You know, people have that attitude. Okay, I'll give God His tenth. The rest of it's mine. And you start doing with it as they please instead of using the rest of it to please God. He has given you the opportunity to keep the other 90% and to use as good stewards. What are you doing with that other 90%? Are you using it to get closer into that pit? Are you using it to lose that battle and you wind up dirty again? Or are you using it to help you stay out of that, help keep you out of that pit and serve the Lord with all the blessings that He's given you? Every single breath that is within you is a gift from God. Another opportunity. Every time you wake up in the morning is another day of opportunity to serve the Lord. It's not another day of opportunity to live your life as you choose, to set goals that you want, to achieve the things that you want to choose and achieve. It's nothing about that. It's, what can I do for you today, Lord? Every single day. Because you are His. I mean, that's what I emphasize over and over, and that's what this says in verse 19 again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Those that are born again Christians have the temple, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moves into you, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. As simple and clear as it can be. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So everything that you do to your body, you're doing to the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere you take it, everything that you indulge in, you're doing that to the temple of God. And we've got to remember that and have respect for that. Turn back over to Romans. Romans chapter 7. Paul, the greatest apostle of the New Testament time, to the apostle to the Gentile. Some say, well, Peter was the greatest apostle. I personally would rank Paul up there as the greatest apostle of the New Testament age. But he wrote this book to the church in Rome, the Romans, chapter 7. Let's look at verse 14. He speaks about his battle. Now, this is a man that was raised to be a religious leader. He was within the Pharisees, very high-ranking Pharisee. And he went about to crucify as many, or I should say, to persecute as many Christians as he could. And he was on that road to Damascus after he'd gotten permission to go to Damascus to catch more Christians to take them back to Jerusalem, because they ran out of them there. They needed some more to bring back to Jerusalem so they could persecute them as well. Many of them were put to death and tortured in horrible ways. And on that road, the Lord saved him, converted him to Saul. I mean, from Saul to Paul, he became an awesome example for us. And it shows something in here that he was dealing with in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He's talking about that battle within himself. The one that was so close with Jesus Christ, the one who was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles and wrote most of the New Testament. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We've got to understand that as well. There is within us the flesh and the spirit. Sometimes the flesh wins out over the spirit. But don't condemn yourself too terribly. Understand that you are losing that battle. And what do you need to do about that? You need to turn to the Lord and ask forgiveness. Ask for the strength to overcome the flesh that is within you. Because as long as we still have these sinful bodies, there will be temptations that we will fall. We will fail. Don't think that you're going to live the rest of your life perfect and sinless unless you're fixing to drop dead and you're here, you know, you're still going to have an opportunity to sin. And don't beat yourself up too bad about it, but understand you can't just write it off as, hey, no problem, I just sinned, big deal. And you go ahead and just brush it off as nothing, meaningless, because it does mean a whole lot. You need to take it to the Lord, get it washed in the blood again. That's not, like I say, it's not you get born again and again and again, but you do get dirty, like we were talking about in there in the book of John, the epistle of John there, that you, if you sin, take it to the Lord. He's the advocate. He paid for it. You can get it washed in the blood again. Continuing about here in the book of Romans about Paul and his conflict. Reads, for I know that in me, this is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The battle that Paul was dealing with. So if you've been beating yourself up thinking that you're an unworthy Christian to even come to church or become a part of the family of God or to dwell with anybody within the family of God, understand that Paul was dealing with that. He was fighting this horrible battle within him. He was saying that he was doing things he shouldn't do, and he hated it, and he knew it was the flesh, and he wanted to get it right. So how do you get it right? You take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like John wrote us, he is the advocate. He is that mediator. He is that channel that we have to God so that we can get things washed in the blood, regain our relationship and our fellowship with God, and get back on the straight and narrow. He can pull us out of that pit of mud and get us back where we need to be. Understand that all the time you as a Christian have that tug of war. You as a sinner out there have lost that tug of war and you're down in that pit walling around in that mud. Understand that there's an opportunity. That Jesus Christ has already paid for your cleansing. And all you got to do is take advantage of it. Ask the Lord to come into you. Become that temple of the Holy Spirit. Ask for forgiveness. Repent of what you've done. And He'll pull you out of that mud pit. Wash you off. But you're still going to have that tug of war you're going to deal with. So many times I've talked to people that say, well, I just never could overcome the temptations or the evil thoughts that was in my mind. And they surrendered to that battle of the flesh. They surrendered to the flesh. Instead of realizing that that's always going to be there. It's always, the devil knows what to tempt you with because he knows your past. And he'll dangle that out there to try to tempt you with it. And you got to fight that off. How do you fight that off? By leaning on Jesus Christ, by His might, He can pull you out of that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It contains the inspiration that we need. It contains the strength that we need. It contains the encouragement that we need to be able to walk the straight and narrow that You have in mind for us. To be able to be the kind of Christian You want us to be. To be able to get all of our filthy sins washed in the blood. To be able to get that forgiveness. It is such an awesome opportunity. Help us always to take advantage of that. To realize that if we ever do fall astray, if we ever do get drugged down into that pit of mud once again, that we can come to You and get it washed. And regain that fellowship that is available to us. It's such an awesome opportunity. Help us to share that as well to others. Give them that peace that passeth all understanding. Thank You so much. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.